Go back to what you were doing when you first started tonight. You were doing a free flow of worship. Go back to that. And after a while, I'll come back up, but you need to go back to where you were. Because God was doing something in what you were doing. And you were releasing something, and the atmosphere was changing. I don't know if anybody felt it, but I am very sensitive to atmosphere. And when they were in free worship, the atmosphere changed. In fact, I whispered to Pastor, I told him, it was at that moment that I felt the healing anointing come in.
Yes.
It came in during that free worship. Now, I'm going to scold y'all just slightly, because I also told Pastor that after you ended the free worship, you were actually in prophetic worship. And then you came out and you went to a planned song list, and it was like going in reverse. And we were here, and now we were back out here. We went from the throne room to the outer court. Why do we want to go backwards? We enter his gate with thanksgiving, and we enter his courts with praise. But God's in the Holy of Holies. And you went from the Holy of Holies back out into the hallway. If you're in God's living room, and you're hanging out with him in the living room, why do you want to leave the living room and go back out in the hallway? And that's what we did tonight. And when we did, we pulled back out, and we went back in the anointing. And we haven't made it back to where we started with. So go back to where you were. Pick that up. Get that flow going again. Let's go back into the holy place, and then we'll minister off of that. I've got to tell you that the anointing that's moved into this place tonight is rather unusual. And I've not experienced an anointing like this in quite some time. But somebody is taking what Pastor has said and is taking it to heart. Because somebody is pulling on the anointing. And I came in here tonight, and Pastor and Karen will tell you I had a 3x5 index card, and on that index card was written what I was going to preach tonight. And Pastor said, well, yeah, maybe unless God changes it. Guess what? I'm not preaching what I was going to preach tonight. Because a prophetic mantle has fallen in this place tonight. There's a healing anointing that's in here, and there's a prophetic mantle that's in here. And before we leave tonight, we're going to lay hands on anybody and everybody that wants or needs healing in their body, because there's a healing anointing that's in the house. But I had several prophetic encounters tonight during worship. I heard in the spirit the sound of a slamming of a door. Now, you ever have one of those situations in your life where you get really mad at somebody and to accentuate your point, and you slam the door. And when the door slams, it makes a sound of finality. And I heard in the spirit the sound of a slamming of a door. And I said, Lord, that's real interesting. Why am I hearing the sound of a slamming of a door? And then right after that, you ever watched an old movie and you see like an old rusty gate open up, and as it, right? And as it opens, you hear this creak sound of that old rusty gate opening. Yeah. And so first I heard the sound of a slamming of a door, and then I heard that creak of the opening of the gate. And I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? Now, I could prophesy it, but I'm going to take it out of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 9. But the former things have come to pass. Slam!
You might want to start to record.
The former things have come to pass. Slam! God is slamming the door on your past. He's slamming the door on your past. Listen to me. There is no future in your past. There's no future in your past. And that slamming door that I heard, behold, the former things have come to pass. They are done. And new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. See, God always tells you what he's going to do before he does what he's going to do. He doesn't have to, he chooses to. The Bible says, surely the Lord God does nothing. He does nothing without revealing his, and I love the translation that says, his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. He reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. He never does anything without revealing it first. He doesn't have to, but he chooses to. And so the prophet Isaiah said that before they come to pass, I declare them to you. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. There are some things in a new season that comes after a slamming of the door. Now, you don't come through a slamming of the door like gangbusters. You gradually move into a new season. And that's why the sound of the gate was creaking. Because you're slowly moving into a new season. It's an abrupt stop to the old season. The way that you have functioned, God has pulled the plug on. God has slammed the door on business as usual. And the way that you are used to functioning, you can't function anymore. Because God has pulled the plug and he slammed the door. Don't even think about it. That's what the next chapter says, don't even think about it. In the context of Isaiah 42, verse 10 says, sing to the Lord a new song. So he tells us the former things have come to pass. Slam. I declare, before they spring forth, I tell you of them. You're going to start using it. And you know where it starts? In the next verse. Sing unto the Lord a new song. The way that you worshiped won't wash in a new season. New church will not wash in a new season. It starts with a new song. It starts with doing it a new way. Go over one chapter, Isaiah 43, verse 18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Listen to me, church. Do not remember the former things. The way you used to do it. There have been folks in the church for years that have lived on, this is the way grandma did it. This is the way mama did it. And if it was good enough for grandma, if it was good enough for mama, then it's good enough for me. No, it's not. Do not remember the former things. The way you used to do church, God has slammed the door on. The way you used to function, He has slammed the door on. The way you used to worship, the songs you used to sing, the way you used to sing them, the order you used to do them in. God said, pull the plug, bam, slam the door. That season is over. I've got a new season for you. Don't remember how it used to be. Why? Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. How do things happen in the spring? When plants grow, is it like, presto, there's a flower? No. Now, spring, when spring has sprung, you see first the stalk comes up, and then leaves start coming, and then you see the bud of the flower, and then eventually that flower blossoms and opens. It doesn't race into manifestation, but it goes through a process of growth into manifestation. There's a process of growth to the manifestation of the new thing, because it's like spring. It springs forth. It's planted. The seeds of greatness and the new thing are already planted, but they have to take root and they have to grow. But as long as you keep putting the weeds of yesterday and the way it used to be into your crop and into your garden, your flowers will not bloom. And the new thing that God desires to do, you can't, because you're putting weeds of yesterday in your garden. That's why He said, don't even think about the old things. Don't think about the way you used to do it. Because I'm doing something that is entirely new. I'm doing something entirely different. I've got to tell you, I embraced some things this last year that were totally new for me. Now, a lot of you don't know me intimately, but there are people that do. And one thing that you have to know about me is, even though I've been preaching since I was 17 years old, and I'll be 55 in 2 months, I've been doing this a long time. But one thing you have to know is, I have always said, there's one thing I will never do. I will never leave a local church. I will never be the leader of a local church. I am content to help in a local church. I'll be an elder in a local church, but my call is outside as a parachurch minister, and I will come in, I will blow up, and I will blow out. I don't have to stay. I have always operated that way since I was 17 years old, and God threw me a curveball this year. And God said, guess what? I want you to take over and rescue this church that's in a really tough transition. Now, I had two choices. I could either embrace the curveball that God threw me, and through the process, understand the reasoning behind it. Or I could have been stuck and stifled and never moved into my destiny. And we all have the same decision to make. Here's the thing. God said, I will do a new thing. Now, granted, there is nothing new under the sun, the Bible says, right? So that means, really, it's not new, but it's new to you. And it was new to me to take over and be the leader of a local church. The very thing I said never was the very thing that God said, oh yeah. I was talking to a prophet friend of mine on the phone one day, and I said, Tony, I never asked for this. He says, yeah, that's why God gave it to you, because you never wanted it. He knew he could trust you with it because it's not anything you ever wanted. And I said, well, he got a sneaky way of doing things. But it's something new. Now, being a leader of a local church is not a new thing. But it was sure enough new to me. I grew up in a pastor's house. My daddy was a pastor when I was growing up. So seeing pastors and leaders in local churches was nothing new. I've been part of some of the largest churches in America and have seen the inner workings. I was a head usher at Victory Christian Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when Billy Joe Daugherty was the pastor there. I know the inner workings of a church firsthand from with my father, being some of the largest churches in America. I was in Buddy Harrison's church in Tulsa. I was in a church in Rahway, New Jersey for 10 years. I was one of the elders of that church, and I wrote all of their adult education, and they still use it. I know what it's like to be in a local church. But I said, never am I going to be the leader of a local church. And God said, son, I got a new thing for you. It's a new season. You got to embrace the new thing. And sometimes the thing that God has for us takes us outside of our comfort zone.
That's right.
You know why? Because we get used to doing things a certain way.
Hallelujah.
We do. We are creatures of habit.
Yeah.
And none of us like change on any level. We get accustomed to doing things a certain way, and we just want to do it that way. And then God says, okay, I'm doing something new. You can't do it that way anymore. But God, I like doing it that way. Well, good for you. I don't like it anymore. I want you to do it like this. And it stretches us. That's part of the growth process. None of us are fully fluent in the growth process. Remember your adolescence? Was everything smooth in your development in your adolescence? Or were there times where you were just really, really awkward in your adolescence? So it is in your development in the things of God. It's not always smooth. Sometimes it's just downright uncomfortable. But it is a process that God takes us through, where things are springing forth. They are growing. They are developing. But the new thing can't begin to grow if we don't slam the door on the old thing. And as long as we hold on to the baggage from the old season, we can't move into the new thing. Look at it this way. How many people, when you're driving your car and you put it in reverse, now this is a guy thing. I don't know if ladies do this, but watch this. You're driving your car and you're going to put it in reverse. Left hand goes on the top of the steering wheel, right arm over the seat, right? How many do that? I know most guys, see? Look at all, oh, there, we got ladies that do it. High five. Most ladies don't do that. Most ladies look in the mirror.
Yeah, that's me.
See? Most ladies, they look in the mirror. Guys, hand up on the top. We're at 12 o'clock, arm over, we're looking back. Now that's great when you're in reverse. Don't do that when you're in drive. You're an accident going somewhere to happen. Well, that's what it's like when you're looking back at the old thing. You can't go forward if you're looking backward. It's impossible. So God, let me hear some things in the realm of the Spirit tonight. He slammed the door on an old season. There's a season of this church that is closed. It's done. Fini, kaput, whatever word you like. Finito, hasta la vista, baby, chow chow, whatever you like. Put a fork in it, it's done.
Yes, we know.
It's a finality. That season has ended. I don't know what it is, but obviously you do. But that season is over. And the new season has come. But you're going to gradually move into it. You're going to creep into that new season. And everything in that new season is going to spring off the new song. It's going to spring off of a new flow of worship. It's not going to come by the program things, by the things that we know what we're doing. It's going to come by the things where we yield to the Spirit of God and we flow by the Holy Ghost and allow Him to take us by His Spirit through worship into the Holy of Holies and then let God release out of the Holy of Holies into our reality and change it. That's where it's changing. And that's the call that He has on this house. The call that He has on this house is to be a people that are not content with the norm of worship. The call on this house is to be those that are not happy in the outer court. They're not happy in the outer court. They're only happy when they're in the throne zone. When they go to the face place. You know what I'm talking about when I say the face place? We have so many in the church that are busy seeking the hand of God. You don't need the hand of God, you need the face of God. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my hand. No. What does it say? Seek my face. When you get the face of God, you don't have to worry about the hand of God. When you get His face engaged with your face, you don't have to worry about what's in His hand because everything else comes. We go to the face place. And the face place is a place that most of the church knows nothing about. You know why? We have rituals and ruts and routines that we become accustomed to. And we do worship the way that we know. And God is calling us out of the comfort zone of what we know so that we can slam a door on an old season, embrace and move into a new season, awkwardly at first. But eventually become accustomed to going in a new way and in a new direction and allow the process to change us from the inside out. Because the Bible says we work out our salvation. And gradually we change to the point that we are comfortable in doing the new thing as much as we were comfortable in doing the old thing. We just realize that that thing is dead and it's not bearing fruit. God is always about fruit bearing. Always about fruit bearing. That you may bear fruit. And then He said, that you may bear more fruit. And then He said, that you may bear much fruit. And then it became, and fruit that remains.
Yeah.
fruit that remains. And when something stops bearing fruit, what does God do? What does the parable say? He puts in the sickle and he cuts it down and he throws it in the fire. Why? It's not fruitful anymore. Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Because it wasn't bearing fruit. And sometimes there's things that we have in our ministry that we have been doing that are no longer bearing fruit. And when they're not, it's time to cut them and let them go because they're dead wood that we're carrying and we can't carry dead wood into our new season. What's not bearing fruit? Cut it. Don't just do things for the sake of doing them. Don't do them for the sake of doing them. If the impetus of God is no longer on it, if the inspiration of the Spirit is no longer on it, cut it and let it go, because it's a new season. Now, what I saw and what I heard in the Spirit is after I heard that door slam, and let me tell you, it was loud. There was a finality to that slam. It was one of those like ripping the door off the hinges, bang. And you ever had to rip the door off the hinges, bang, you know what it's like. There's finality to it. That creaking of that new thing. But God began to give me a glimpse. A glimpse of what was on the other side of that creaking gate. And what was on the other side of that creaking gate was the beginning of the new song. And then what that new song released. And the release of that new song was what Jesus preached in Luke's Gospel chapter 4. You remember that Jesus comes back from the wilderness after having encountered the devil face to face. The Bible says he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Spirit led him there. The temptation shows what you're made of. If you don't ever have a conflict, you'll never know what you're made of. I beg your pardon. God never promised you a rose garden. Brother Hagin used to say, we don't float through life on flowery beds of ease. We are in a war. We are in a fight. We're told to fight the good fight of faith. The reason it's a good fight is because we win. God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. And so we fight, but we still have to fight. But as we are fighting, we begin to see the manifestation. And so Jesus stood toe to toe, led of the Spirit into that place where he had to stand toe to toe. And the devil said, if thou be the Son of God. And then the devil said, if thou be the Son of God. You realize what the temptation was over? The temptation was over Jesus' relationship with his Father. He was testing him in his sonship. And when the devil comes to us, that's exactly the same game that he plays. Are you really God's son? If you're really God's son, then how come you think like this? If you're really a child of God, why are you going through this? He's coming to tempt you in your sonship, which is exactly what he did to Jesus. If you're really the Son of God, and Jesus said, it is written. It is written. It is written. The Bible says that he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And then it says he returned from the wilderness full of the power of the Spirit. And he came into the temple and he picked up the scroll. And he began to read from Isaiah 61. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel." And then he talked about the deliverance of sight to the blind, to healing those that were bruised, to preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what God began to show. On the other side of that creaking gate was the manifestation of Luke 4:18. There's a new anointing coming on the preaching of the Word of God. There's a new anointing coming on the preaching of the Word of God. And there's a new anointing for signs and wonders and miracles to go along with the preaching of the Word of God. And it was on the other side of the creaking gate. If you don't have a slammed door, you can't go through the creaking gate to the place where something can spring forth. I declare a new thing. I tell you before it happens so that when it happens, you don't miss it. That's always the way God works. He told the people exactly where Jesus would be born. He said he was going to be born of a virgin, said he was going to be born in Bethlehem, said that he was going to have the sevenfold Spirit of God upon him. Everything about the coming of Jesus was prophesied so that nobody would miss it when he came. And yet, they missed the time of their visitation. God shows us and tells us what is coming for us. And sometimes, he gets so particular, he will come to a house and talk to a house and tell a house what his plan and intention is. There are things that he declares and he decrees that are general for the body of Christ, universal. But there are times that he speaks to a house because he's got a plan for that house. And he's got a desire for that house. And there's a change for that house. And he'll send a prophet in with a word for that house. I didn't come prepared to talk about this tonight. I came prepared to talk to you about the balance of the Word of God and the power of the Spirit of God. That's what I was going to talk to you about. But God had a different plan. And his plan was that I would hear a slamming of a door and a creaking of a gate so that you would close the door on one season and creak open into a new season, that you walk into a place of fulfillment and walk and manifest Luke 4:18 and 19 in this house. And it comes off the new song. It comes off the new song. When we were in free worship at the beginning of the service, I said to Pastor Barry, the healing anointing just moved in. It came in because of worship. It didn't come in because of preaching. Listen to me. It didn't come in because I was preaching. It didn't come in because Pastor Bowery was praying. That's not why it came in. It came in because anointed minstrels and psalmists and singers were worshiping, doing a new song that was not rehearsed and was not planned, and his anointing was on it, and he took the whole place into a different dimension.
And we went from a natural realm into a supernatural realm, and the presence of God was manifest in a tangible way. And I said, the atmosphere changed. The atmosphere changed. The healing anointing just came in. And it came because of what was released, because of a new song. God has called you to release a new song. He's called you to release a new song that the power of God might be manifest in a way that you have never seen. Now let me tell you the rub. The degree of what God has for you that you walk in will be directly tied and in correlation to the degree that you walk in the new song. The more you press into the new song, the more you press into it, the greater the manifestation and the power of the Spirit of God is going to be. The more the captives will be set free. The more the healing power of God will be manifest. The more you pull away and shrink back from the new song, the weaker that anointing is going to be. There's a direct correlation. Listen to me. If you believe I'm a man of God and I hear from God, listen to what I am telling you. You can uncork something into this region that this region has not seen. And you can do it by your worship. You can do it by releasing the new song. You can do it by releasing the things that you didn't plan. Because you allow the anointing of God. You allow the inspiration of God. Oh, I see exciting days. I see exciting days for this house. 2017 is a year of change for you. It's a year of change for you. And everything that you've known and everything that you've done and every way that you've operated, God said, finito. Pull the plug. Slam the door. Done. I'm doing something new. Change has come to your house. Change has come to your house. I'm not sure, but I have a sense there might be some structural change that's going to come. It might be some shifting of leadership. But change is coming. It's not just going to be the mechanics. It's not just going to be how you do church. It's not just going to be how you do worship. But there has to be some structural changes that are going to have to come to facilitate what God wants to do. There's some things structurally because this. Listen. God never puts new wine in the old wineskin. Because the wineskin can't hold the new thing that God wants to do. If he did, the wineskin would burst and the wine would be wasted. And God will never waste his wine. And he doesn't want to burst the wineskin either. He wants to mend the wineskin. He wants to soak that wineskin in the oil of the Spirit so that it's supple and pliable again and that it doesn't crack. He's not going to waste it. And so sometimes structural things have to change in order to hold what God is doing. I don't know if I'm out in left field or not. I'm just following the Spirit. And I'm going with what's in my innards. You told me to come with the word. And said, if God moves you in a different way, we want to see what God's going to say. Well, this is what God's saying. There are going to be some structural changes to hold the new thing. Because he can't pour it into the old thing. And that may mean the cutting of some ties. It may mean the severing of some relationships. And I don't know why I'm saying this, and I really don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm just talking out of what's in my innards. But that may be required to embrace what God wants to do. But I can tell you this. God has such a plan. He's got such a plan for this house. And he is not done. He is not finished one iota with this house. And he's not done with this area. And he's not done with this community. There's hurting people here that he wants to heal, that he wants to save, that he wants to minister to. And he's raising up a lighthouse that is not afraid to embrace what is different and unusual. He's called you to be an unusual people. Now, it's true, the Bible says we're all peculiar people. Some of us just more peculiar than others. But we are a peculiar people. And he's called you to be not church as the norm. Not church as the norm. And the more you embrace it, the more you're going to see the change. You're going to see the change. The anointing is going to increase. The anointing is going to increase.